There's a general point that we should really take a few minutes to discuss, and that is the question of how do we interpret prophecy. On the one hand, we're told that Chazal included into the Tanakh only the prophecies that have an eternal message, that their message applies for eternity. Meaning, we have on tradition that there were more than 2 million prophets throughout our history, and they all had prophecies, and their prophecies were applied to the generation. They spoke to the generation, and then their prophecies disappeared. They were forgotten. We don't even know the names of the 2 million prophets. We just know that in different places in Tanakh, it's recorded that groups of prophets came here and groups of prophets came there. And in the beginning of the book of Shmuel, it says that he came from Ramatayn Sofim, from the two hilltops of prophets. You find that there were a lot of prophets in our history, but it doesn't bother the Tanakh doesn't bother telling us who they were, because their prophecies did not have an eternal message. So on the one hand, whenever we read Tanakh, we have to know there is an eternal message. On the other hand, the question is, well, what is that message? So it's important to remember that the greatest runes, the greatest errors, and the most misguided individuals use the Tanakh to misguide people. If you look in history, you find that be it the Maskilim, be it the Tzdukim, the Sadducees, be it the Kutim, be it the Shomronim, each generation had their version of Reform Jewry that came along and said, we'll tell you what the Bible says. And you see where that led to. That led to utter destruction. It could be in the generation of Shlomo's son Rechavam that Yeravam ben Nevat came along and he gave his own interpretation to parts of the Tanakh and ultimately led the Jewish people to idol worship. It could be Shabtai Tzvi. Each generation had their false messiah. Be it those that started completely new religions, and be it those that started movements that are the equivalent of completely new religions, even though they call their movements within Judaism, they're really out of Judaism. But what they most often use is the Tanakh. Because the Tanakh, if you open the Tanakh, you could read and translate and interpret, and then, okay, go prove me wrong. I'll say that this is the fulfillment of this prophecy, and that's the fulfillment of that prophecy. And you understand that a book that has a message for thousands of years, well, it's going to have many interpretations. So that's why our own interpretation of Tanakh and how these prophecies come true is very problematic. I always say that we find throughout our history that when the Jewish people try to interpret what prophets said on their own without the guidance of the rabbis, we find catastrophe. It begins already in the time of the Jews in Egypt. They had a prophecy that after 400 years they'll leave. They counted 400 from the time of the prophecy. The tribe of Manasseh picked up their bags and left, and they were all killed. You had a substantial portion of the tribe of Manasseh murdered. Why? Because they decided they could interpret the prophecy on their own. You take the Jewish people out in the desert. Moshe tells them, I'm coming back after 40 days. They decide they know how to count 40 days. When the 40 days are up, they decide, oh, he's not coming back. So he said 40 days, it must be he's not coming back. They set up an egel. Time after time, we find that when the people took matters into their own hand, I could understand what the prophet said. It brought about catastrophe. And I'm talking about even in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when we read Tanakh, we have to be very careful. On the one hand, we have to learn to be moral people from the Tanakh. The words of the Navi do have a message for each generation. On the other hand, when we want to apply practical applications from what we've learned in Tanakh, we have to remember that Chazal have a tradition, and even within Chazal's traditions, there are arguments and things aren't always that clear. We find that when Rabbi Akiva had Bar Kokhba, Rabbi Akiva initially thought Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. The rabbi said he was wrong, and Rabbi Akiva ended up being wrong. History proved him wrong. But you find that the things aren't always clear to the rabbis, but at least they can guide us and they can do the best that, and then we've done the best we can. But for us to just open a Tanakh and try to figure out what's the prophet telling us, let's figure it out. Must be this means this and that means that. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. I remember when Russia fell apart, and they started showing how they were taking tanks that could go through fire and using them to put out fires, using them as equipment in literally to put out massive forest fires and stuff. People were saying that's what the prophet meant. They'll turn their swords into plowshares. Okay, and now Russia is again a global power, and they're wielding their strength. And what are we going to say now? The interpretation of the prophecies is complex and complicated. We find even in the time of the Second Temple, there was it's unclear why Ezekiel told them a whole formula how you build the next temple. Along come the rabbis, and they built the temple totally different than what the Navi Yechezkel said. Why'd they do that? God sent a prophet, and the prophet told them how they're going to build the temple. Then they come and they build it totally different than the prophet said. Why? Because they themselves were prophets. And they knew that God's prophecy to Yechezkel was really a prophecy for a future temple, the third temple. But the people didn't know that. The people, the average people at that time, they were walking around, and they built the temple, they probably would have tried to match it to Yechezkel's prophecy. And that would have been a great error. That's why whenever we take the words of the prophet, we have to know. When it comes to learning how to be moral people, so that, yes, we could learn, and we should learn, and we have to take the prophet's words to heart. When it comes to practical applications, what does a Jew do living in Germany in the year 1931? I wouldn't be so quick to think that we understand what the prophets are saying is going to be with Ashkenaz or Ifat v'Togarma. We might understand, we might not. So that's why all these things. So we just read in Hosea.
You should not teach from the poor.
Believe me, it's okay. What the prophet he says, we see the prophecy, we try to understand the prophecy, we go with our tradition in understanding the prophecy, but the practical applications, okay, do we really know what he means? We might be right, we might be wrong, but I wouldn't be so quick to make investments based on the way we think what the prophet meant.
That's a different message.
So some messages are the same, and some things are specific to each prophet. You do have certain messages that were repeated by numerous prophets, like be a righteous, kind person, etc. There are some messages that they're like a vein that's running through all the prophecies, and then there are messages which are not, but that are specific to specific prophets.
Is there any way to tell if a rabbi is interpreting prophecy correctly?
It depends on the prophecy, and it depends on if he has tradition.
How do you know if it's someone that you should follow? Someone says, this prophecy is coming true now, we should start rebuilding the temple, and this person is like this. I don't know the prophecies, but like X, Y, and Z is falling into place, and it looks like this prophecy is being fulfilled. You know, we should continue to work towards that goal.
You know, but, that maybe we'll leave that for Thursday night, because otherwise we won't get our other learning done today.